Welcome to the club, cause you're that kind of nerd.
Hello, and welcome to the club that is That Kind of Nerd, a show where we talk about the nerdy things that we're passionate about, and then we judge each other on what we bring to the table. I am CJ Mellon, joined by the one and the only Joshua Burns.
What up?
Brian cannot be here today. Unfortunately, he is trapped inside of a child-sized pinata and is unable to get out due to the fact that he is a wimpy noodle.
We'll be pinning the tail on Brian later.
Yeah, after you crack him out, you have to do pinning the tail on the Brian. That is very
correct. Right.
So with that, I figured I would just talk to you, Josh, about a few things that I saw around the internet, a few things you saw around the internet. And then when Brian comes back, I think we will make this canonically... this episode will be like 299.5, right?
0.5,
right? Yeah. And when Brian comes back, it'll be episode 300.
Sounds good.
We'll give him that. So let's talk nothing about everything except for Marvel. Let's talk about DC. Let's get all that stuff out of the way so Brian just has to sit there and squirm. No, I've got a couple things I want to talk about. So if you don't mind, good sir, I would love to kick this off.
Let's go.
I'd love to talk about HBO Go. I'm sorry. I want to talk about HBO Now. No, wait, hold on. I want to talk about HBO Max. No. I want to talk about Max, and I don't mean Brian's child.
This
streaming service has the worst case of identity crisis / imposter syndrome / I've merged with too many pieces of shit to tell you what's going on syndrome that it's making my head hurt. This has to be the name now. You have to stay with this. You
can I discontinue
it.
My Discovery Plus subscription or what?
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked that, Josh, because I don't fucking know.
Because they don't say anything anywhere.
Because what they're saying is we're going to take the stuff that's really popular from Discovery Plus, like the Magnolia, like the 90 Day Fiancé. It's like the Say Yes to the Dress, like the TLC stuff and the Chip and Diane, you know, Magnolia stuff that everybody loves and buys at Target. That stuff's coming over, but the rest of it, I don't know, because Discovery Plus is still going to be around, and I don't know what you do for this. And then, to make matters worse, right, so now I don't know if I still have to pay for Discovery Plus. Probably not going to, but I probably will still have it somehow, right? Then they said, hey, we're going to do three tiers of Max, right? Max.
Okay, can they all be called Max if... You understand how, like, right. Max infers maximum?
Correct. That there's the words have meaning?
No. Not to Warner Brothers, they don't.
Like, this is the maximum thing we have to offer. But it's going to be, like, Max Pro.
I'm so glad you said those. Give me the three. Max, give me three tiers. Yep.
Max Lite, and Max Pro.
While you are close, you are also off. And the last one's going to infuriate you. Okay.
Oh, good.
Are you ready? So the first one, right, is, hey, let's put ads on it. So we'll call it Max Ad Lite.
Okay. The light correct. All
right, ad Lite, right? It's right. $9 a month or $100 a year.
I like that very much. Okay, good.
You can do two concurrent streams, 1080p, no offline downloads, and ads on your programs.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay. Next.
Max ad free, $15.99 a month, $150 a year, two concurrent streams, 1080p, 30 offline downloads, no ads.
Okay.
That's what you're paying for essentially right now. Right now, HBO Max is $15 a month, $16 a month like this.
Yeah.
All this stuff. Then Max Ultimate.
Ooh. Okay, we direct them to the Department of Redundancy Department.
Correct. I looked up redundant and said, please see redundant. So Max Ultimate, $20 per month, $120 per year.
That's great.
Four concurrent streams, Dolby Atmos, 4K, and 100 downloads per month. No ads.
Let me back up.
Yes, this is the correct reaction to have.
The Ad Lite,
yes,
$9 monthly service, if you subscribe for the year, gives you an 8% discount.
Mm-hmm.
The $15.99, $16 mm-hmm. monthly service is $120. Is that right?
$150 per year.
$150 per year.
Correct.
Which gives you a 30% discount.
Okay. And then $20 and $200.
gives you more than a 50, like, I mean, $20 a month, right?
Correct.
Is how much at the end of, at for a year?
200.
Okay, you didn't say that. You said 20 a month.
200 per year.
You didn't say that.
Okay, well, now I did.
Yeah, okay. That's a smaller discount than the one below it. That's weird.
Yeah. Now, here's the other part that's just odd, okay? If you have a cable subscription that includes HBO, you usually get HBO Go, Now, and Max as part of your subscription to HBO.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you do that. Which one do you get?
Say it one more time.
You pay another service for HBO. Uh-huh. Just general HBO subscription, as if I want to turn on a television and I just want to watch HBO live as it goes.
Oh, that's why I was having trouble understanding, because I haven't done that for years.
Right? You get HBO Max included with that. That's just part of being an HBO subscriber, was you got HBO Max. Now that it's going to go to just Max, and now Discovery Plus content comes over to it, the question is, well, do you still give this to me?
They're getting ad-free, right? You don't know.
HBO hasn't made this clear. But I would think if I'm paying somebody else and then you're giving me that thing, I should have my ultimate. Why would you downgrade me? Right now I have no ads. I get 4K on HBO Max. I get the bomb diggity HBO Max subscription.
Well, that's why, because they don't want to, like, if I'm Discovery,
right,
and I want people subscribing directly.
Yes.
Then the ones where you're getting it subsidized,
mm-hmm,
get ad free, not right, ultimate.
Okay. Now, your other question of, well, do I lose Discovery Plus will remain a standalone subscription, right? You can buy just Discovery Plus at $5 a month with ads and $7 a month with ads light.
What does that mean?
which means, yep, I don't know what that means.
Wow.
Why? What? Okay, listen. I can't imagine a world where I'm so into Discovery Plus, which, by the way, is a better app, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But that I would say, I don't want all the HBO stuff with it. I just want to watch Say Yes to the Dress and 90 Day Fiancé. Just give it to me. And not be over the age of 65 and already have cable. Like, I just don't understand who this is for.
Yeah.
I can't figure this out.
Look, it doesn't make any sense to me. So, I don't know.
Like, what is this?
I don't know. I'm going into my...
So, here's the other question I have, right? And this was brought up by reporting by The Verge, which is great, was they said that most HBO Max customers, right, find something they want to watch on just the home screen of the fucking app, right? They just log on and whatever HBO is like, watch The Last of Us, or don't you want to watch Flight Attendant? Like, that's how they find their stuff. They and I don't know if you've ever tried to use the HBO Max app without knowing exactly what you want to watch. Finding stuff on it is terrible. It's impossible.
It's not great.
It's almost as bad as Hulu, right? It just refuses to let you go on it. I don't know, though, if you've ever putzed around with Discovery Plus's app. You ever putzed around with the Discovery Plus app?
Yeah, but only because I wanted to watch a documentary about rats, and they don't... it was a Discovery thing, and they don't have it. So I used it to look for that, and they have not... They don't have it.
I have more questions about that last sentence than I did this entire topic of what's happening with HBO. I'm sorry. You were seeking out a documentary about rats?
Yeah, it's called Rats. It's called Rats.
Not Rats Max or anything like that?
No.
Just regular rats? Okay.
Yeah. So it's a documentary called, I think it's called Rats! Exclamation point.
Right. Rats! Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I think... You know, Laura brought it up, like, did you know they made this documentary? And I had seen it years ago, and I wanted to watch it again because I was fascinated by it. So, if you don't like mice, then don't watch this. I don't have a problem with these little guys. I think they're incredibly intelligent. I think their survival instinct is probably better than any other thing on the planet. and I think they're cool to observe. And I wanted to watch it, and it's listed as a Discovery thing. And so I thought, oh, all I have to do is get this. I'll have to get Discovery, and I'll get it, and I'll watch it, and whatever. It's not on there. It's a Morgan Spurlock documentary from like 2016, and it's worth a watch if you are not terrified of vermin. It is listed as documentary/horror. I mean, although it's not, I mean, I can see how it might
sure,
be horrific.
Sure, because it's rats. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's rats. But it's like, it's just like a history of rat infestations across the world. And I think it's incredibly interesting.
Okay. More interested the more you speak, because you started this with, I had seen it before.
I wanted to watch it again.
That's the best part. Is that you're just like, oh, I haven't seen rats in like 10 years. We should revisit rats.
You know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, it was just on somewhere. It was like on a streaming service, so I watched it.
Okay.
But I wasn't really paying attention to it, and now I'm more interested, because I've reached the age where it's appropriate to watch a lot of World War II.
The John Mulaney, you're either getting into World War II or barbecuing things, right? Like,
that's right.
You're at that
right.
age. Yes.
So I'm watching. You know, just this is one of those things. If I want to learn about it, then I want to learn about it. Like, I gotta consume the what's available, consume the content, right. And then be able to speak intelligently about it. But because I have a wife that is irrationally afraid of rodents. I mean, irrationally.
Right.
And here's the thing. It's springtime. There's going to be a mouse. There's,
right.
Oh, right. And that, like, you can guarantee you're going to catch one or two in the house in the spring, and then you're going to catch one or two in the house in the fall. Like, that is the way it is.
Right.
You know, and I just, you know, I'm just trying to, like, demystify as much as possible. They're little guys. They're not going to hurt you.
Right.
You know, you just make sure that they don't set up shop.
Absolutely fascinating.
All right.
I'm going to have to find it. So the reason we got to rats, though, was the Discovery Plus app is extremely intuitive in the sense of, oh, I want to watch the thing that I know is on the Discovery Channel, or I want to watch the thing that's on the Travel Channel, or I want to watch the thing that's Magnolia, right? And it lets you pick, okay, this is our whole family of Discovery products. Find the thing that matches where you want to start, right? I want to watch TLC programming. I can go to a TLC thing that's nothing but TLC, right? It's very intuitive. So you can really dive into, I want to watch this thing, I want to watch that thing. I can go down the Food Network rabbit hole. I can go down Magnolia. It's very intuitive.
I don't get past Food Network when I'm on there ever.
You see Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, or you see Chopped, and you're just like, well, I have to fucking watch this.
You can watch Chopped for like 3 days straight.
You're in, right? But if you ever try to do that with HBO Max, in the sense of, I want to watch Lord of the Rings, I want to watch Harry Potter, I want to watch DC, no, fuck you. You can't do that. You get movies, you get documentaries, you get HBO series, and that's it, right? Like, and it's in a crappy menu. It's not very well designed. And what Discovery took away from this, right? What Warner Brothers took away from this was, hey, let's put all the content on the app that people don't like to use, and let's not redesign that at all. And we'll just hope that you've all figured this out. So, The app sucks. I hope they redesign it, and I hope they figure out this name thing. You're not allowed to change this anymore. You know how, like, Facebook stopped you? You change your name. It's like, you're stuck with that name for a year. You can't change your name.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, but HBO Max has this similar, tube layout, right? Like, all these different, all the different hubs, so to speak.
Right, red, the red stuff, the corn one. Yeah.
Right. So you can do that. You can say, I want DC, I want HBO, I want blah. You can view it that way. The thing that bothers me, and it's not, you know, you have a legitimate gripe. Mine is less legitimate. But both HBO and Prime Video do this now, where if you with your Apple TV remote, like, mouse over something, it, like, if you stay on it for longer than a nanosecond, it blows it up.
Correct.
It like, yep, makes it the half the size of your screen. I don't, yep, want that.
I'm taking it over.
I just want to look at the titles. Yeah. I don't need the trailer. I don't want to hear anything.
Yep.
I just want to see. And that, so that kind of bothers me. Yes, I do like Discovery Plus's the way it's organized, but their content is, you know, way different than what's on HBO. Like, it basically, it's a bunch of different places to get the exact same thing. Here's a half hour or an hour of this, you know, niche,
right,
product. HBO's not like that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I get why you're saying it. I just think that it would be impossible to organize HBO that way.
Correct.
Because of,
yes,
the depth of the content.
Correct. But they did say that they're going to redesign the app, and they admitted some of the shortcomings of this, yada, yada, yada. Here's the other thing that they did, right, with this, is that they announced that now that they're putting this all into one service, you have to have something to get people excited about, except for the fact that you're going to charge me more money to watch 4K than before.
Yay.
So they did put out a couple projects that they have officially announced and that they're looking at. The first one is the one that we already knew about, which is the DC Penguin spinoff that is in the Matt Reeves Batman universe. So this is the Colin Farrell the Penguin series, which I don't know if you saw the Batman. I believe you did. This was amazing. I would like to see more of this character in that kind of Gotham. Give me, like, totally down for that. I don't know how the hell they square this away with all the other DC stuff, but I would like to see more of this universe and more of that character. So that sounds pretty awesome. Any thoughts on the Penguin spinoff?
No, I mean, you know, give me all the content that you want to give me that's comic book related. I don't think DC has any idea at this point where they want to go or what they're going to do. I think that's kind of evidenced by the
everything, you know,
the Blue Beetle, the, like, what? You're still okay. So you're still doing that.
Yep.
Is that going to be a part of? We don't know.
Yeah. All right, they're going to do a fresh take on The Conjuring as a series, which I'm sure Brian would be very happy about, to get a horror series.
What does that have to do with the DCEU?
It doesn't. This is just content that they're announcing to get people excited about Max, right? They said, hey, we're going to do The Penguin from DC. We're going to do The Conjuring, right? And then they announced two things that got me kind of bubbled up. So the first one is a spinoff of The Big Bang Theory.
What?
Yeah.
Didn't they already do that with Baby Sheldon?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, I forgot all about Young Sheldon. Forgot all about that. Yeah, they're going to do a spinoff of that show.
Is this going to be called Slutty Penny or what's the...
I don't know. Hold on, let me look. It's in development. Oh, so they have no actual...
In development means two guys talked about it at lunch one day. It's not...
But they were excited enough to put in the press conference that they're going to do that. The next one, and this is one that got me riled up, which was they're going to do a reboot, a redeveloping of the Harry Potter books as a 10-year series.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Look, okay.
And obviously, none of the original people are involved.
It's ambitious. It's ambitious. Is J.K. Rowling involved?
Yes, she is. Because she has to be, because that's how her contract works.
If she's involved, then it's probably going to be okay, right? It's either going to be fine or it's not going to happen.
This is a... Okay.
You and I read the books, right? Yeah.
While there are things that were not in the movies that were in the books... The movies, for all intents and purposes, are good narrative tellings of that book, right?
For the most part.
There's no spew, right? We don't talk about half-selves, revolutions, and freedoms. And other than that, I really can't think a whole lot that I'm like, I can't believe this isn't in the book. Or in the movie. The whole movie misses a whole dimension to this character because this isn't in the book.
There are aspects of, the Half-Blood Prince and, the Deathly Hallows that I thought could have been illustrated better, especially the part where they were living in the black home
for a long time. Yep.
And you know the apparating and disapparating from forest to forest, that was happening. I mean, that was like a year's worth of time.
Like,
it was a lot of time.
Correct.
It was a lot of time that had passed, and I don't think that was accurately or adequately.
Yes.
So, but like, you know, things like that.
Does that change the narrative structure? Does that really change the scope of the movie?
No, it doesn't. It's just me.
But it's just not. Okay. It's not authentic to the book, right? Exactly. Yes. I agree with you on that one. This to me is a very obvious money grab, and I want to get rid of Emma Watson. I want to get rid of Rupert Grant. I want to get rid of Daniel Radcliffe off this Harry Potter world because they're not very nice to me, kind of thought by JK. And my other part is you've got theme parks and you've got merchandise and you've got all this intellectual property all over the place that has a very shared aesthetic that if you reboot this, right, you can't redesign Hogsmeade. You can't rescore the Harry Potter series. Are you kidding me? That score is like, it's up there with Star Wars. It's up there with Superman. It's up there with Indiana Jones. That score is legendary. How do you make this different enough from a design standpoint that it doesn't feel like, well, you're still using the same sets. You just put different people in there. Like, how do you make it unique? I don't know if you can.
I think that when you look at seven movies.
Seven or eight. Is it seven? How many books? Six books, seven movies? Six seasons and a movie! Sorry, go ahead.
I think when you look at it that way and you say, I can get, you know, 10 45-minute episodes per season, like, I think there's a whole lot you can do. And I think that there's... Listen, so...
Mm-hmm.
The thing for me that that made Game of Thrones so special was that I did read all the books, which that is not the case for Harry Potter. The detail that they were able to put into the show based on what was in those first few books was really pretty spectacular. And then obviously the show got way bigger, I think, than anybody thought it might be. And then it took a hard left and pissed me off. But
right
before that, it was doing really, really well. There's a part of Game of Thrones, the Song of Ice and Fire series. Around the third book, half your characters, half of your favorites just disappear.
Yeah.
They go away.
Yep.
Right? And it's not because they died. It's because this book is only going to tell half the story.
Right. It's got a shift.
And this book is going to tell the other half of the story, the next book. I really ended up liking the way that was done. And the show did an okay job of kind of featuring characters in a very kind of chapter organized kind of way.
Yep.
And I think you can do the same thing with Harry Potter. I think that there is a lot more to explore about what's going on in the larger wizarding world.
That I'm there for.
Well, then don't shit on this just yet, because here's the thing.
But all they're saying, though, is we're going to just take the books and make them a season. I don't want to listen.
Have any idea how much, like, I mean, you read the books, right?
Yeah. I'm rereading them right now, too.
There was a lot going on in the Ministry of Magic. There was a lot going on in between the Muggle world and the... Right? And there's a lot of story to be told.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you get into, Harry going into Godric's Hollow and, you know, discovering a lot of the Dumbledore backstory.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff wasn't really in the movie.
No, it wasn't. It was very quickly mentioned and breezed on.
And there's a lot more there. There's a lot more there.
I would like to see then, show me the Ministry of Magic.
Yes.
Show me, like make a Ministry of Magic series.
No.
Or
there's not enough there.
That's the problem. There's not enough there. I would rather have, Hogwarts Legacy, for all its weirdness around, I don't know if you got to play the game. The story is, it's okay. But there's a whole bunch of new lore. There's obviously a huge history in Hogwarts, right? It's centuries old, right? That there isn't just one dark wizard. There isn't just one bad, good person. Like, that thing's got a whole thing. You could go down the whole Salazar Slytherin rabbit hole and really see what shit was like, right? there is so much that you could create in this world, right, that could have a really good story that isn't Harry Potter. I would watch a Wizarding World series in a heartbeat. Give it to me, right? I'll deal with everything else that I got to deal with, but I would watch that. But if you're trying to re-give me Harry Potter, I got it already. It was already really well executed. If Harry Potter wasn't well executed, I would be okay with this. For example, Westworld, right? Years ago on this very program, Craig Newcomb even talked about Westworld the movie, right? The Westworld was going to be a TV series, and we're all like, there was a movie and it was shit. We don't need a series. We're all okay, right? And then they're like, no, the movie sucked, and the movie messed up really the source material and condensed a huge thing into a 90-minute project, and it blew, right? So a series telling this will be better. And then Westworld came out, and we're like, oh, all right, yeah, give me more of this, right? To your point, though, let's say this. The last book of A Song of Ice and Fire has not come out yet, right? The George R. R. Martin.
No, two. There's supposed to be two of them.
George R. R. Martin has done shit with them, but the story is done, right? But let's say those books come out, and he fixes everything that was wrong that we all hated about the HBO series.
Yeah.
And then someone says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a movie. We're going to do movies for all the books. So that way we can get to these last two books and do them right. But we got to do the whole thing to get to those last two books. And they do a movie for the Game of Thrones. They do a movie. Book by book gets a movie.
That's not possible.
Wouldn't you say that's, first off, not possible, right? But wouldn't you say, I don't need you to make three other movies to get me to the last two books?
Yes, I would. Yes, okay, you're asking two questions, and you're
I am. I'm just asking from the standpoint of that.
You're phrasing them poorly.
Good. Well, fix them up.
Well, you're taking two different ideas and you're smashing them together.
Correct.
So the first thing you said was, I don't need a new series to fix because the movies were perfectly fine. And then you went to the Westworld thing, which was a series fixing a shitty movie.
Right.
And then you talked about making movies in place of a Game of Thrones series.
So to fix the shitty series. Yes.
There's one thing I have to do before I do anything else, because I'm sure there's at least two to seven people screaming at their
shut up, CJ, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's seven books and eight movies, and I made that mistake. You're welcome. But Laura can stop screaming, and others, I'm sure. So all right. Game of Thrones. If they are going to do The Winds of Winter and A Dream of Spring,
mm-hmm.
in any format, in any medium, if they were going to do those two, then I would first need you to fucking fix what happened. You know, like story.
I would like an eraser from those last two seasons.
No, forget the eraser just for the last two seasons, right? Because you're talking about seven and eight.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about is you got to go back to four.
Oh,
you got to go all the way back to four, and you got to fix it.
Okay.
Because you fucked up.
I should wake up in the morning, read the newspaper, and it should say, it's fixed.
It's fixed.
Yes.
Now, if you, you may not recall, but see, I stopped watching Game of Thrones, like, two, three, four episodes into season four, because they took a hard left out of the book. And I didn't start watching again until just before season six, when I caught up on four, five, and then started watching six.
Gotcha.
But like, no, if you're going to do anything with Game of Thrones, then you need to fix what you broke first.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can do whatever you want. And I'm fine. Right. Look, Harry Potter. Yes. A lot of the story, certainly the actors are kind of forever in our minds and hearts as these characters. However, they're probably sick of that.
They are.
Right. And like Daniel Radcliffe he's actually a really good actor, and he can't get like a leading role in a serious movie because he's fucking Harry Potter. So like, I think this fixes that, and that's a good thing. And he probably is fine with that, you know, whatever. He doesn't care. He's not Harry Potter anymore. I think there are greater challenges with a 10-year series, and that's, are we going to like growing with these people?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to change a lot. Yeah.
And as these kids grow, you know, they're growing in age and maturity and popularity, and, right. You know, is one of them going to do something that gets them canceled from the earth?
Correct.
And then Right. Well, how do we, well, how do we deal with that? Like, are they going to, unless we're going to have them live in a bubble for the next 10 years. So like, you know, I have concerns. And then there's obviously, as they grow in popularity, and there's other people are going to want them for other projects. It's just, it all becomes a thing. And I think, you know, if I'm in charge of this project, what I'm doing is envisioning a longer timeline with different casts, maybe.
Almost like the House of Dragons thing where you time jump and you change an actor or two.
Yeah, I don't know because I don't watch.
Oh,
that.
Okay. Well, but, they did that.
Okay, but like, yeah. So we're talking about, you know, maybe five seasons are, you know, the seven Hogwarts years, and then maybe, you know, five seasons are completely different actors.
Yeah, and again, their intent is to take the book and make it a series for it. They're not. It doesn't look like that they're adding new content or exploring a new storyline. It's just, this is the book, and we're just going to do it in there. And the problem is a lot of the fandom, right? So let's get away from the fact that, again, logistically, that is tough. I mean, look at Stranger Things. That's the same thing. You're trying to keep those kids within. They're all growing like weeds. They're like, yeah, you're all 11 still. Really?
They come back for the next season, and he's got teeth.
Like, it's logistically tough. It just reads as way too soon, way too quick, and it just seems like a money grab. And when that happens, people are like, listen, if you had fucked this up and you were trying to fix it, I would be more on board. But this just reads, you guys did a good job before, Warner Brothers. You finally did something good.
The first book was 25 years ago, man. I mean, I don't know if it's...
The first book was, but the first movie wasn't.
No, but it wasn't that long after, right? Mid-2000s, right?
I gotta look up the first one. 2001.
Oh, okay. So, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. It's just a bit too soon. So we'll have to see what happens.
No, I get it. You're being emotional about it.
Oh, of course. Well, but you know what? No, absolutely, right? Because this part, right, is not the business side. This is emotional because I don't know how many new fans of Harry Potter you're going to grab that don't already have exposure to the movies and the books and to all of that already.
Maybe a lot, man. 25 years is generational.
But we're also talking, these kids have gone to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, right? These
Maybe. Like, here's the thing.
It's a very popular theme park.
I wonder, because what we're talking about is in the next 5 years, people who were born in 2007 to 2010 are going to be having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
please don't say that too loud again, because now I'm thinking through our own kids, and I'm not ready for that.
Well, no, I get not maybe, you know.
Hopefully not our children. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. I have two kids in that bracket, right? But right. Like, you know, like qualify as an adult.
Correct. Yes.
In the next 5 years.
Yes.
And, you know, Christian does not have the same connection to Harry Potter that I do.
Correct.
Like, even though he likes a lot, you know, he likes it and he's watched them a whole bunch. Like, he, you know, is it something that he's going to introduce his kids to?
Probably not. Yeah.
Right. But having something new in case he, right. I mean, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Like, if you did this
in 5 to 6 years, right? If you said, "Hey, we're going to
have a better chance doing it over 10 years,"
exactly, you would have a better chance. But the fact that they want to get it done now, your timeline's off.
Wait, they're going to film 10 seasons right now?
No. They want to start the process. They want to start filming and releasing it within the next year or two, like or 2 years.
Fine, great,
okay.
Because at that point, it is a 10-year stretch, and your people who are 16 when it started are now 26. I think that's perfect timing.
I think if you add 5 years, if you would have waited 5 years to announce this, I think you would have had more leeway time. I think a bigger gap. And then I would have, because I know you're looking at when did it start, which was 2001.
My concern is when did it conclude? In 5 years, the people that have the discretionary spending are seriously.
Yeah, I get you.
At that point, the 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds are going, it wasn't a thing for me when I was a kid, so I don't care. But if you do it now, right, people that are aging into adulthood will have had exposure.
Here's where I guess this is where the rub is that Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, right? The final movie, the conclusion of it all, was only 2011.
Yeah.
And this is a bit of a it's not a big a gap. I need a bigger gap.
You are really just you just hate it so much.
I listen, if this was new stuff, even though I hate the fucking Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them movies, they're garbage, right? Still went and saw them because it was a new story in that world. And I was like, I'll take a new story. I get you got ties to other things, but like they mentioned this book one time, right? In one book, in the first book, right? And then no Hufflepuff ever goes, that's Newt Commander, we love him. No, like no one ever mentions Newt Commander again. Right. Grindelwald gets mentioned only when they talk about the Elder Wand. Right. That's it. Only when they talk about the Elder Wand do they mention Grindelwald. Right. And that's it. So here's an action. Here's a connection. But here's a whole new story. Again, the movies are bad, but like I watched them because they were a new story within that context. I would love that. Give me a 10-year thing of what happens in the world now. Introduce a new bad. Harry Potter's an old retired fart who can't do shit that an aura could do, right? He's not hard, the chosen one anymore. Give me hard something new. Of course it's hard to do. You know what? Of course it's hard to do. But if it's good, if it's hard to do, then it's worth doing if you do it right.
No, the risk is too high for that.
The risk, it's Harry Potter.
The risk of screwing it up is too high. Doesn't matter how good it is, especially with content like this, the risk is far too high that you're going to do it wrong.
Says the company that merged with Discovery Plus and makes that app. The risk is too high. I think we're at the point where they're okay with the risk. All right, that's what I've got, right? I just this came out. These were the two big things that I saw. I definitely wanted to get your perspective on it. And again, I can hear people yelling. I understand. I know who I am. I know what I do to your blood pressure. I get it. What about you? What did you have floating around from the nerdy world?
I have one thing and one thing only.
Oh, I did have something else. So I'll do it after yours.
You can do yours after this because mine will be very fast.
Fantastic.
I need right now robot umpires in baseball.
You know what? I have fallen down a TikTok rabbit hole on this very topic, Josh. And I don't watch baseball. And even I'm like, what the fuck is up with these umpires?
Dude, I do watch every day. I watch baseball every single day.
It must be so hard right now.
And all right. There was the Yankees had a series against the Cleveland Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a fly ball into center field. Aaron Hicks slides, catches the ball. The crowd goes nuts, right? Mm-hmm. The Jumbotron reveals that the ball, in fact, did touch the ground. And the rule is very clear on this. The opposing manager has 15 seconds. Not only did Terry Francona not challenge within 15 seconds, and that's, you know, how I feel about Terry Francona is a whole other thing.
And that's the manager for the team that's supposed to challenge.
That's right. He's tied to the 2004 Red Sox and fuck those guys. So he does not challenge. The umps, getting the reaction from the crowd, realize they blew the call.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little huddle. They walk over to Terry and they're like, hey, you want to challenge that?
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, do I need to?
Right.
Do I need to? And they're like, you probably should. He's like, oh, good. I'll do that. Aaron Boone loses his mind. The Yankees manager. I mean, loses his mind for good reason. The broadcast team, who are pros, these guys, the Yankees broadcast, they don't talk trash about other teams. They don't go off on side conversations. They're a professional broadcast team.
Yes.
They're like, we really don't know what's happening. This is the amount of time they have to do this. They did not do it. I don't know what's happening. And look, that's not the only thing, but is a series of bad calls, blown calls, bad judgment. I don't need these umps. I don't need them screwing up the game. I don't need them causing me a heart attack or a stroke or high blood pressure or whatever. I want them to go away, and I want it done. Like, the machine knows whether it's a ball or a strike. Let the machine call it. They know whether you're safe or out, naughty or nice. Let the machine call it. I don't like, okay, I'm sorry. I mean, all the baseball truthers are not, you know, they hate me. Fine. Hate me. I understand it's part of the game. I understand that
human error is part of any game.
Human error is part of the game. I get it. However, the people that designed baseball, the people that made baseball what it is, did not envision this level of fuckery.
Right. Also, they're dead, so who cares?
I want the game to be the game, and I don't want umps screwing it up.
An outsider's perspective, if I may. Yeah. Again, I fell down a weird. I did not expect the algorithm to be like, "Hey, here's some baseball drama," and I'd be like, "Yeah, give it to me." So watching this pitch clock has been super fun. Again, from a person who doesn't watch baseball at all, because I went to a couple of baseball games both in my youth and now in my adulthood, bored out of my fucking mind because of shenanigans like this, right? Of just I'll leave the box, I'll come back in, and I'll adjust this, I'll do that, and it takes forever just to get through a fucking inning. And this pitch clock has really made this a very strategic game now.
Yeah. Yep.
And
yep.
And it's added a lot of drama and excitement when I'm watching this.
Right.
And watching people react positive or negatively to all this has really changed the game in a good way. But now what it's highlighted is when there is a bad call, when there was this one ump, and I don't know his name, and you probably do, who was just missing calls left and right, clearly strikes, clearly balls, just fucking it all up. At one point, had the notebook down to write down what it was, and then turns to the catcher and says, "What was that?" I'm like, "That's your fucking job, dude.
What
your
are you
job."
About Angel Hernandez?
It's not him, but if it's some older guy too, apparently he's been around forever. And then the manager came out and he's like, "You should fucking retire. You should retire." And the guy's like, "I'm not fucking leaving. I've been here forever." Anyway, but it's been interesting to watch. Now the personalities of the umpires are becoming part of the story and the drama, and not the gameplay, not the players themselves, not that part. It's the umpires. And if umpires are at that level, right, and that they're in the game and involved like that, that's not fun to watch. That doesn't make me, right, a guy who says, "Hey, this pitch clock thing is actually making the game move faster. It's also making it a little bit more intriguing just from a strategy standpoint. I saw somebody balk a call. That was cool." Like, I've started watching clips of baseball saying, "Maybe I'll tune into the next game." And then I just see, "Oh, by the way, the umpires are fucking it all up." So because of that, I'm not going to tune in and watch a game, right? I just won't do it.
There's two little things that I want to also mention to highlight this, and then we can move on from sports. I'm sure Brian hates.
I actually have another sports conversation.
Well, good. We're going to continue with sports. The little things that I want to mention here. So the pitch clock. Here's how the umps are screwing this up. The batter has to, by the time the pitch clock reaches 8 seconds, be set in the box and looking at the pitcher, ready to go. The pitcher must have a minimum of 8 seconds to get set and throw the ball. And the pitch clock stops when the pitcher starts his windup. So a windup can be as long or short as he wants. And I have seen now multiple occasions of an ump messing up, not violating the batter when he is not set, which is a problem. That should be a strike. If he's not set, it's a strike.
It's a strike, yeah.
And on the other side of it, if the pitcher, seeing the batter not set, takes longer than that 8-second count to throw the ball, the ump stops it, and then the batter is awarded a ball.
Ball, right.
Not now, not in April, but in September and October. That's a serious problem.
Correct.
Now, and I think, you know, like anything else, right? We are creatures of habit, and the more that we practice something, the more it becomes permanent. And if it's a problem now, it's going to be a problem, and it's only going to be exponentially worse.
Right.
The other thing is, three pitchers this year have been ejected for foreign substance on their glove. This is every game, you know, somebody asks for a check of a pitcher's glove for a substance, and they look at it and they go, "Yeah, this is allowed. It's fine." Pitchers are allowed to use the rosin bag that's on the mound. They're allowed to use the rosin I think there's a pad or a
yeah, it's like a ball thing. Yeah.
In the dugout, they're allowed to use that, right? What they're not allowed to do is put other substances on their glove, inside their glove, inside their hat, their waistband, but you know, wherever, right? They're not allowed to put excessive amounts of snot on the ball. It just whatever.
You can't fuck around with the ball. Yeah.
No foreign substances, right? The same ump has ejected all three of the pitchers.
It's the same one?
The same ump.
He's
only one ump has ejected a pitcher for this problem. The same guy has ejected three different pitchers. And the last one is Max Scherzer, who is like the biggest name.
This is what started the rabbit hole. I saw this guy playing with the rosin, and then rubbing sweat from his brow, from his hair, and then touching the rosin. And he goes, and this is allowed stuff. I'm allowed to touch my hair. I'm allowed to get sweat off my fucking forehead, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm allowed to touch his back, and it makes it sticky. And he's demonstrating it makes it sticky. But this is all allowed. This is in the rules. This is fine. And I got ejected from. He got suspended, if I remember correctly, for this
10-game suspension for an alleged offense.
Right. The guy can't fucking. And he's like, here I am recreating his exact conditions. What the fuck are we doing? This comes back to the umpires. The umps just being a fucking personality being part of it. And again, I'll tell you what. I'm here going, this is interesting. I would watch this. Oh, fuck it. Never mind. Because this umpire is going to fuck this up. I'm not going to watch the game.
Well, here's the thing. This is a good season to tune into baseball. There's a lot of cool stuff happening.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we're just off the season where, you know, Aaron Judge set a record for home runs. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of competition happening in the league. It's a good time to watch. Don't let this one little thing deter you from watching if you were going to start. Plus, it started to be broadcast on like Apple TV Plus, and there's free views and things like that. Check it out. It's worth a watch. And yeah, it's okay to be angry at the umps.
Well, because that's the thing. I get free MLB season pass or whatever the hell it's called. And we'll talk about how that's a mess through T-Mobile. Then Apple TV Plus is doing MLB also. So like I now have more access to it than I've ever had in the past. So I've been like, I'm bored. Maybe I'll watch a game. And then the other thing, and this will segue into something that I wanted to talk about real quick, is I watched Welcome to Wrexham on FX on Hulu. I cannot stress how highly I recommend this about Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds buying a Welsh soccer club, right, football club, and trying to get them promoted. And now watching Ted Lasso, knowing what promotion and relegation not only means, but what it does to a club and what it does to a city, watching this story about the town of Wrexham and the club of Wrexham, I am in this season already. I am following the Wrexham football
FC?
Club.
No kidding.
Watching them on their way right now to get promoted. Like, they're doing fucking great. And I'm like really engaged in soccer, European, not even Premier Club, not even, you know, club soccer. I'm watching national leagues going, this is exciting. I want to see this. I'm trying to find ways to watch the game live, but time zones and the streaming is kind of shitty, but whatever. I'll take what I can get. So, like, I fell down that rabbit hole of watching Welcome to Wrexham, and then TikTok serving me baseball, and I'm like, how the fuck am I falling into sports right now? And I'm not following in sports that, like, are around me. Like, my wife watches football. I'm not paying attention to anything happening in that realm, but I'm, like, really into Wrexham AFC. I'm really trying to find out what's going on right now with baseball, watching all these clips. It's a very strange time for the nerdy CJ to be like, am I maturing or am I just realizing that I'd liked this the whole time, but I never liked it because of all the other things that go around it? And this is where Brian will be like, no, you're not. I'm in sports and blah, 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 blah. So there's Brian's deal. But I would really recommend watching Welcome to Wrexham. And then right now is the perfect time to start watching Wrexham AFC. The stuff they're pulling off is crazy. And knowing that Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds aren't just doing this for publicity, like that they're doing this because they genuinely care about this town and this town is responding, this is electric. And this, I think, Josh, is really what a lot of sports fans currently are like, yes, CJ, this has been what we liked about sports the entire time. It's not only just the team, but like, look at what the city does. Look at what the fandom does. Look how it impacts a larger thing than just a numbers scoring game, right?
Yep.
It does a lot. But I like the little underdog stories of this and the little towns and getting to know these people personally. It's very cool. So I'm interested in this, which means later on, not today, because I think we're out of time. We really have to talk about YouTube getting the NFL Sunday Ticket and making it still impossible to stream a fucking NFL game for a team that you want to watch that isn't in your local network.
Ridiculous.
And I can't just buy a thing to let me watch one team. I would pay money and more money than I would care to admit or want to pay to just follow one team season. Just let me do it. No. Or, hey, I just want to watch this one game, like a pay-per-view thing. Like, I just want to watch this game. It's not on my local market. Let me do it. And they just give you the finger and say, fuck you. And you got to figure it out yourself. And it's obnoxious and it's terrible. And it does also happen with baseball, right? I know it happens with baseball and hockey and others.
The blackouts. We'll talk about it.
Oh my God. It's again, I'm just trying to get into this. Like, I'm finally here and it's the year of
welcome to the world.
2023. And
welcome
we
to
still
the world.
Haven't figured this out.
Welcome to the world.
Needed to happen. This is more sports talk on this podcast than I think we've ever allowed in the 299 and a half episodes that we've been canonically doing this. This is,
yes, indeed.
And I cannot wait for the canonical 300 where we do it some more and Brian has to sit through it. So Brian got his repeat from sports. But anyway, again, I think to your point, great time for baseball. Great time to start watching. A very competitive season. Some really interesting stuff going on. The game has changed a bit to make it a little bit more dynamic. I can only imagine what this is like live now. So, like, you know, perfect time to jump into this. I would start with Welcome to Wrexham. Learn about that team. Learn about what they're doing with that club. And then start diving in and just even following the season. Again, on TikTok, they do really great synopsises of what's going on. Easy to get down that rabbit hole and follow up with it. So, good. Any final thoughts for you, good sir?
None.
Well, then thank you, listener, right, for listening to us. As we talked about when we started this show, right, That Kind of Nerd is all about different nerdy passions, and sports is a nerdy passion, right? So I think we're going to be talking about it a little bit more. I can't believe this is coming out of my mouth. Does someone want to make sure I haven't been body snatched? Can someone
You're just okay. Come over and just make sure I'm all right?
Well, thank you so much, listener, for making us your walk around your neighborhood, your drive to work, your in between when you're actually supposed to be watching HBO Max, but you're on your phone instead. You're not really watching the thing that you said that you would be watching with your significant other by yourself, but you're on your phone instead. Thanks for making us that for you. And we will see you on the next episode for a proper 300.
Well, welcome to the club, because you are that kind of nerd.